For Thursday, August 12th, it's The Early Word from the WNYC Newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky, in for Isaac Davey Aronson with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC News team. Coming up, Andrea Bernstein has a sit-down with the city's new deputy mayor for operations. And in the ongoing battle between public bus and private van, Lisa Chow has the latest twist. We'll start with the morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
New Yorkers will get to decide this fall whether the mayor and other elected officials should be limited to two terms. The city's Charter Revision Commission approved the ballot measure last night, 2 years after Mayor Bloomberg and the city council changed the law so they could run for third terms. A separate measure would allow city officials in their first and second terms to have the option of a third term, so that the two-term limit would only apply to those elected beginning 3 years from now. The contentious issue of nonpartisan elections was not taken up by the commission. Embattled Representative Charles Rangel was by turns defiant and reflective at his packed 80th birthday party at the Plaza Hotel last night. The event, which also doubled as a fundraiser, became a political litmus test for his supporters, many of whom publicly hemmed and hawed before attending. Most of the state's top Democratic lawmakers turned out and spoke on Rangel's behalf. The 20-term congressman has vowed to fight the 13 ethics charges he's facing while refusing to resign his seat. Mayor Bloomberg is not supporting Governor Patterson's proposal to give developers state land if they relocate the mosque and Islamic community center away from Ground Zero.
If the governor wants to offer him, he can speak for himself. I'm just telling you, I've always believed the government should not be involved in deciding who you pray to, what you say, or where you say it.
The mayor spoke at City Hall yesterday with Governor Patterson at his side. The governor says his offer is not about mixing church and state, but about getting a conversation going about how others are feeling about the mosque. The city's transit union says if you can't beat 'em, join 'em, after fierce criticism of a city plan to use private vans to replace public buses. The Transport Workers Union now says it will operate a van line of its own. WNYC's Lisa Chow reports.
The city's transit union is engaged in an interesting experiment. Can it pay union wages and benefits to its drivers and still compete against private van companies? It's expected to start operating a route next month in Brooklyn, traveling from Prospect Heights through Park Slope to downtown, charging riders $1, even as most other companies will be charging $2. Its strategy is typical in the business world. Draw customers first, make money later. But the union says its ultimate goal is to show the MTA that it didn't have to cut these routes in the first place. For WNYC, I'm Lisa Chow.
In financial news out this morning, RealtyTrack released its monthly report showing foreclosure filings in July were just over 325,000. That's a nearly 4% increase from June, but a nearly 10% decrease from last July. It was the 17th consecutive month that foreclosures topped 300,000. Five states accounted for more than half the total: California, Florida, Illinois, Michigan, and Nevada. And finally, tourists are flowing into New York City at a rate that puts the city on track to host a record number of visitors in 2010. Taking a look at today's calendar, the Labor Department releases weekly jobless claims. About 300 tribal officials and representatives of several federal agencies are holding a discussion about protecting American Indians' civil rights. Participants in the two-day conference in Albuquerque say American Indians have made strides but continue to face discrimination in education, religion, voting rights, and housing. And the federal judge who overturned California's same-sex marriage ban says he is ready to rule on whether gay marriages should resume immediately. Judge Vaughn Walker says he'll issue his decision by noon today. Stephen Goldsmith has been New York City's deputy mayor for operations for 6 weeks. A former Republican mayor of Indianapolis, Goldsmith was known for both cost-cutting and rebuilding that city's downtown. In New York, he's become associated with several new initiatives, including wireless water metering, a possible fee for garbage collection, and expansion of the private commuter van industry. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein sat down with Goldsmith to discuss his views on bus rapid transit and the controversy over New York's ever-expanding bike lane network. Bernstein asked Goldsmith why he supports charging motorists to enter parts of Manhattan during peak hours.
When we give citizens broad signals, pricing, and they can make decisions about what's in their best interest, that's the way New York should run.
People don't think about the cost. They don't think a sidewalk has a cost. They don't think a road has a cost,
right.
And especially not a bridge that is now free.
But, you know, as economists say, and I'm not one, free goods get overused, and so we have to kind of figure out how to price this out. Now, people are paying, right? We are paying for this stuff or it wouldn't get done. We're paying for it with tax dollars. We're paying for it with extra maintenance costs and extra capital costs. These things aren't free.
You say, I'm not a politician, but you are a very successful mayor. So you must have some inkling about how to persuade a population that is already feeling strapped that this is actually in their best interest.
Well, I mean, I was a politician once, yes, indeed.
Oh, come on, once a politician, always a politician.
Heard that somewhere. Change is always difficult because people who will benefit from the change don't quite believe you at the beginning. And people who are adversely affected by the change know who they are, and they're really against it. So the goal in any big, bold, transformative change is to energize the group that will benefit by better explaining to them what the benefits are. That's a communications issue as well as a political issue, and it can be done.
What about the BRT lines that are going up or the Select bus service that is going up on 1st and 2nd Avenue? There's been a lot of praise for that. There's also been some concern that some of the things that have worked in some other cities, segregated bike, bus lanes, no right turns from the bus lanes, are not going to be part of this system,
right.
And it's not going to make it as effective as it could have been.
Yeah. I think with the way we should look at this is how New Yorkers can move most efficiently at the lowest cost. And to the extent that we can shorten the travel times of those buses will be in everybody's best interest. So I think there'll be a lot of experimentation. My guess is that the Transportation Department will get it wrong occasionally because they're kind of out there on this. But I think that express bus lane and restricted bus lane idea is a very good one. And if we can move more people by bus and fewer people by car, it would be a really very good thing for New York.
People seem to take in New York, a lot of these painted lines as suggestions, not really requirements. Should there be more enforcement of bus lanes, bike lanes, and the like?
My general view of life is there should be fewer rules better enforced rather than more rules lesser enforced, right, or less stringently enforced. Because if you have lots of rules and you don't enforce them, then you actually penalize the people who do follow the rules. And so I don't know, in those bike lane, turn lanes, bus lanes, know which of those are the problems and which aren't, but we ought to decide what's right and then we should enforce it because any other way is the wrong signal to the public.
One of the departments under your jurisdiction that is not at all boring is the Department of Transportation. Are you behind what's going on there? Do you think that it's on the right track and it should be expanding?
The transportation director is a very creative woman, has lots of ideas, and those ideas make the city a very exciting place. But many of those ideas are also controversial. And I think the program for bikes is a good one. I also understand that those policies can literally and figuratively collide with automobiles and transportation policy. And I know the mayor is interested in getting the balance right. And so I salute a director who has a lot of innovative ideas and also understand that we need to kind of balance those against the interests of others and see what happens. So far, Times Square and the like have been, very successful pilots.
There was some thought the commissioner had wanted to have bike lanes all the way up 1st and 2nd Avenue. And then that plan was pulled back, and that was sort of around the time you were coming, and there was some speculation that that was because you were concerned about that. Is there any truth to that?
No, not exactly.
That was a very evocative, not exactly. Can you expand on that?
No.
Deputy Mayor Stephen Goldsmith speaking with WNYC's Andrea Bernstein. For the full interview with Goldsmith and a transcript, go to the Transportation Nation blog at WNYC.org. There's just enough time for today's Gig Alert. Percussionist and rhythm dancer Keith Terry brings the International Body Music Festival to New York for the first time tonight. As part of Lincoln Center's Out of Doors series, the performance will showcase body music from across the Americas, including Terry's own Oakland-based ensemble Slammin'. This track features a cappella singing and beatboxing, and you can download it and many more songs from artists performing in the city tonight for free at our culture page. Just click on culture at WNYC.org. You can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. It's at our website, WNYC.org, and you can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great Thursday.